This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. Without you, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. For you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we are indeed desperate, Lord. We're desperate for you, God. We are lost without you. I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to us right now, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we'd be in our quietness right now, God. That you would speak to our hearts, Lord. What you have for us, Jesus. I would just ask that you would just sit there and listen to him for right now. Right now, God. Praise you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I would just ask you, God, to minister to each one of us, Lord, in a powerful way, God. And Lord, that you've spoken to some of us in our hearts right now. I pray, God, that we would act on those, God. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you, from your encouragement, Lord, we just pray for good testimonies that would come. We pray that you would just pour out your spirit upon this congregation. Upon every aspect of it, Lord, and all the different ministries, Lord, that are in here. We pray that your spirit would just pour out upon this community, God. We pray for that, God, that we just see a mighty move of God. That's our heart. And just give us wisdom, Lord, of how to reach people, God, and to share you with them, Lord. I pray for that, God. We pray for that in a powerful way, that there just be some mighty testimonies, God. And Lord, we want to pray for some of the needs right now within this congregation. I would ask that if you have a need right now, that you would just raise your hand right now, whatever it is. Lord, you see these hands throughout this congregation and online. You know what these needs are. I pray that you would touch them. Maybe it's a healing, and maybe it's just a comforting, God. Whatever the need is, Lord. However your will would be done in that, God. Pray, Lord, that you would just touch them and right now, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with the rest of this service. Be with our pastor as he brings forth the word. Be with the kids, Lord, down in kids' church, we pray, God. We thank you now, Lord. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to be here, is it not? Being here to worship God. After the service this morning, we do have a Hot Bless down in the fellowship hall. And I just welcome everybody to come on down there and share a meal with everybody. What a wonderful time of fellowship. It's a beautiful time in that regard. Next Sunday will be our Christmas program. We will have, there won't be any Sunday school for there, but just go ahead and come on, you know, come here, enjoy the kids, enjoy the adults, and everything that they've been working on to put together here. We will have a dress rehearsal this Saturday, December 10th at 3 p.m. here. All right? Next Friday will be SALT, is the seniors ministry there. This Friday, December 9th at 2 p.m. at Trinity Bakery. And Charlene is wonderful hosting that. So if you haven't been able to come to that, please come and enjoy some time. Enjoy some coffee, a couple testimonies, and some good fellowship. We pray for that. Real Girls Christmas Party is Saturday, December 17th. It'll be 1 to 3 p.m. You want to bring your favorite finger food or baked goodie to share. And there will be a gift exchange. So please bring a wrapped present, about $10 in value there for you ladies for that. Once again, there are some nominating ballots over there. If you are a member of the church, please grab one of those ballots out by the desk there and nominate somebody for the board. There we'll have a position for that. If you could bring it back here by December 18th. So we'll be ready for our business meeting in January in that regard. There's a Real Gals leadership meeting on December 6th at 2 p.m. And we want to say thank you to Janice for your for the decoration of the Christmas decorations and help of your good friend there. They decorated this church this past week. So thank you for all these decorations that we see. Enjoy the season in that regard. So today is BGMC Sunday, well, Mission Sunday in that regard. But I do have a letter from missionaries in Mexico. We're going to talk about Mexico down in Kids Church today. And so in that regard, dear boys and girls, what an incredible blessing the BGMC funds were to the children of the orphanage here in Mexico. We will never be able to thank you enough for what your donation made possible. Preparing our kids for school each year is always quite an adventure. This year, we are so grateful that we were able to buy all the schools required before the children started classes. At this point in time, we have 27 children ranging in the age from 1 to 17 years. Of that group, 25 are registered in 5 different schools, kindergarten through high school. While each school has different requirements, they all require a registration fee, uniforms, school sweaters, school PE uniform, tennis, and school shoes, in addition to the various school materials required for each student. Each child must provide hand soap, cleaning products, toilet paper, and teaching supplies for their classroom. The incredible donation that you sent allowed us to purchase almost every single thing that was needed for the children this year. We are thankful for the opportunity that our children have to attend school when there are so many that do not. And we are overwhelmed with gratitude to BGMC for providing the necessary tools for a good education for each of these children. We thank God for BGMC, Art and Joyce Stone King, missionaries to Mexico. So the funds that we do here, they're doing a ministry around the world in that. And so here in a moment here, we have some of the buckets up here for BGMC. If you have some something, we're going to pray for the offering. We're going to pray for Mexico here in just a moment. If you have something, maybe you can put your put your hands up there, you know, put it up in the air, and maybe one of our kids can come get it from you and bring them up here to the bucket, or you can bring it up yourself. So in a moment here, I'll just go ahead and pray. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the heart you've given us for kids and people around the world, Lord, that need you, Jesus. And Lord, we want to pray for Mexico that you would just touch them, God, that you will minister to them. Lord, there's so many people there that need you, Jesus. I pray, God, that you will just bless the gift, bless the giver, and Lord, let it just go and be used by you. And we thank you now. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, in just a moment we'll be headed downstairs for BGMC. But I would take the time there, if you guys have any kind of offering, if you want to bring it in here and take it to the yellow bucket. And I see a few hands out there. If there's some of the kids there, if you want to grab some of the... See, Tom there. There you go. Peyton, they got some stuff right there. There's some money. There we go. All right. Sound like an auctioneer up here or something here. All right. Thank you, guys. Kids, we'll be downstairs talking about Mexico with BGMC.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Doug. And as you go for BGMC, we pray that you learn lots about what missions is, kids, and that you enjoy the lesson and the stories of Jesus. Thank you so much for your giving. As they're going, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 2. It's interesting when you look at the Word of God and you look at the books of the Bible, and you might have a Bible that says Psalms with an S at the end. You might have a Bible that just says Psalm. You ever notice that? Yeah, because sometimes I wonder, why do they do that to us? Why do they confuse us this way? Or you might have the tendency to say Revelations when it's Revelation, and I think that's kind of interesting. Why do we do that? I don't know. Just random thoughts from this crazy guy up here. So here. You all right? We all with us? Psalm 2? All right, Psalm chapter 2. We're going to read the entire chapter, and it's not that long, so don't fret, don't worry. Why do the nations rage? You know, I was thinking about what Pastor Doug said when he said that the kids were raging from 1 to 17, and I thought, wow, that's quite an ugly sight to think of. And then he obviously missaid that and meant ranging, and I thought, oh, good. Well, that's not the case here. They're not ranging, they're raging. The nations are raging, and the young people are plotting in vain. Does that sound like a world we live in today? It does, doesn't it? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, which, by the way, when you see the word anointed, and if it's capitalized in your Bible, which it should be, that's referring to Christ. The anointed one is Christ. And so you have this first two verses that is expressing a great troubling truth, that the kings of the earth are against him, the anointed. The young people are against him, the anointed one. And they're saying this, verse 3, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. I kind of like that. The Lord holds them in derision. It's like scoffing at their so-called rage and their plans and their plottings, as if they can stop God, as if they can stop what the Lord wants to do. They obviously don't know who they're going up against here. Verse 4, very clear. He holds them in derision. Verse 5, then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me, you are my son, and I love this, today I have begotten you. We'll dive much deeper into what that really is saying there. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession, and you shall break them with a rod of iron. Now, when you read this passage, you might get an inkling of why the disciples were wondering about the Lord when he was going to set up his kingdom. Is it now, Lord? Is this the time? Is this when you're going to set up your kingdom, which will be forever and ever? And the Lord Jesus obviously explained to them that they're misunderstanding the whole point at that time. Well, it's very clear that the day will come when the Lord Jesus, whom we see as a friend, we see him as Savior, we see him as God, but not God of anger and wrath, but God of grace and peace and harmony and mercy and kindness. The day will come when he won't be seen that way, because he is going to break those who stand against him. The ends of the earth will be your possession. Verse 8 says, you shall break them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is the Lord Jesus we refer to here. Verse 10, now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This answers that question of I had as a child, why there was this thing, this saying, this song, or this idea of having something called the fear of the Lord. He's a God-fearing man. You ever hear that phrase? I talk about it once in a while, that when I heard that, probably the first time I heard it was Little House on the Prairie. I'm not exactly sure why that was where it stood out to me, but it did. And I was wondering, what in the world are they talking about, God-fearing? I had this idea in my heart, but I didn't quite comprehend what was being said. Well, this might be where they get that idea from, that we should serve the Lord with a little bit of fear. And a tremendous amount of awe and respect for who he is. And when verse 12 comes along, you might wonder about it. There's different forms of greetings, and certainly in our culture, we don't kiss each other when we greet each other. Hey, Dennis, how's it going? I might shock him so bad, I might have to duck, right? You know, it's like that instinct, whoa, what are you doing? But in some cultures, you actually do that as a greeting. You kiss on the cheek. And of course, you know that Jesus was betrayed by that kind of greeting by Judas himself. Surely you understand that he betrayed him with this kiss, and Jesus was referencing it at that time. Is this the kind of kiss that it may be? It's possible. It certainly could be that kind of kiss. But I also think about how we're speaking of a king, the majesty of who he truly is. And I wonder if a better understanding might be how you kneel before the king and you kiss the insignia, the ring, in respect, in humility. And you express, I am your servant, you are my king. That's the vision I have when I see this. Whether it's correct or not, I guess I don't know 100% sure. But kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. That phrase, his wrath is quickly kindled, is a great phrase. When you understand and you know who God is, and you have that respect and that honor and that fear of the Lord, and you humble yourself before him, you repent of your ways, and you submit yourself as a servant unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is very quick to forgive. His grace and his mercy is just at the next moment. And I love that about this verse. To me, Psalm chapter 2 is an excellent lead-up for Christmas. An excellent passage that reveals to us what it means to celebrate the season. We always talk about he is the reason for the season, but what does that really mean? Well, it means that Jesus, the Christ, is eternal. He is the eternal one. Let's pray. Lord, Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it reveals about who you are. While we look at you, and we certainly, during this time of the year, we see a innocent baby in a manger. We see that soft skin in our minds of what it must have been like. That swaddling cloth that was wrapped around you. We think of those young shepherd boys, more than likely boys, that came to visit you that day when you were born. But do we see the full picture? Do we recognize you as you truly are in those moments? Lord, I'm so thankful that you came and accomplished your perfect will, and that we can remember and we can celebrate what it means to celebrate Christmas together. And I just pray, God, that you will open our hearts to your truth in such a way that we will never take it for granted, but we will see you as you truly are, so much more than the baby in the manger. May we celebrate with that hint of awe and respect, yes, even fear. We ask, Lord God, that you will speak to our hearts today. Prepare us to celebrate appropriately as we look into your word. Anoint me, Lord, to speak your words of truth. Anoint us all to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas will soon be upon us. The telltale signs are all around. You probably are getting some Christmas music on the radio stations, right? Homes are all lit up if you have that kind of thing going on. Trees are probably decorated and up and ready for that special day. And you probably saw some chubby guys in red suits already making their appearances in the malls or maybe on television at parties. We saw him yesterday, and the kids were pretty excited. Manger scenes can also be seen here and there, but is the message being lost in all the noise? What does a baby in a feed trough have to do with all of this? Who is this baby, really? Let me ask you this. Why did it take hundreds of years for the church to actually celebrate Christmas? And let me ask you it in this way. Why did it only become global in the last 300 or 400 years? Have you wondered that? I have many times. I remember celebrating as a kid, and I enjoyed the Christmas celebration very much. And I still do. Even though I'm somewhat called the Grinch in my home, it's a term of endearment, I know. There is a depth and a reason for why my countenance isn't the same as so many. And I'm not trying to make excuses for any kind of grumpiness that I might express, because I'm really not being grumpy. I'm not trying to be grumpy. And I have those moments, those childhood memories. I was thinking about some of those. One of them was the Sunday school program that we always put on every year, and I would play my trumpet, and I would sing, "We three kings of Orient are." And I always had the third king part. I don't know why, but it always was mine to be the third king. And so we sang the song, and we did the acting and all that stuff, and somebody would drop the baby, and everybody laugh, and then we'd pick up the baby again, the little doll, you know. And after the program was over, we got to open our gifts from our Sunday school teachers. Oh, those wonderful moments. And my favorite of all favorites, and it might be yours too, because a lot of people had this favorite. It was that book of Lifesaver candies. Oh, yeah. And you'd open up that book and you'd see all the different colors, the rainbows of colors. But the one that was the best of the best of the best was the butter rum. Come on. Butter rum all the way. How many butter rum fans out there? 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. You're my people. I love that. I remember getting one of these crazy, wonderful gifts in our home, and it was, I opened it up, and it was one of those bummer kind of a things, because it was one that you share. Right? It said Kevin and Kyle. It's like, oh man. So we have to take turns? But it was still a pretty cool present because it was this little thing that you held in your hand, and you turn it on, and it goes, and then it was these little, you know, red lines with a bunch of red lines and a football field screen, and it tick, 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 tick. It's just lines on a screen that you would just try to avoid. It was so wild. You know, that thing's probably worth a couple hundred dollars now. I should have saved it. I don't even know what happened to it. You've got one? Oh, man, if it's the exact same one, I'm jealous because that thing was awesome. And of course, you had those wonderful racetracks that had the little pin that went down into the track, and you'd be racing. And you'd pull the trigger, and if you pull the trigger too fast, it'd go too fast, and boom, fly right off the track. And so those were some pretty cool things, those Christmas gifts. But really, honestly, while I did enjoy the gifts, it never really resonated as the most awesome part of it all. It really was the gathering of the family. As we would read the story of Jesus, and we'd sing the songs, Away in a Manger, Silent Night. And every family had an opportunity to do a special number of some kind, if you wanted to. And we usually had something put together for the rest of the family, and there'd be anywhere from 25 to 50 people in our gathering as we honored the Lord. And there was no doubt in my mind of what Christmas was and why it was so valuable and important. While I did enjoy some of the celebrations that were extracurricular, it was the true meaning of Christmas that meant the most to me and touched my heart. And I guess that's still the way I am today. My children know and my grandchildren are learning that I cannot read anything about Christmas without starting in John chapter 1. And so I turn there once again with you. Having read Psalm chapter 2, which refers to God who says to himself, today I have begotten you, today you are son. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What is Christmas? Christmas is the Word becoming flesh. Christmas is not that Jesus was created in the womb of Mary. Absolutely not. Jesus, who is the Word who became flesh, was transformed in the womb of Mary. And miraculously did something that's never been done before. The Spirit of God took on flesh. And he became a man while still maintaining his godness. Incredible. The eternal one. The one who has always been. The one without beginning and has no end. The Word who was there when he spoke and the world was created. The days of creation. The Word, the spoken Word, the Spirit of God becomes flesh. That's what Christmas is. Colossians chapter 1, we'll go there real quickly as well. Beginning with verse 15, and we'll read that for the next point as well. Verse 15, but we'll start there anyway. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. That's the first point. But understand this, he was not created. He has always been. Incredible. Difficult to comprehend, and yet so true. He is the one and the only Son from the Father. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now it's interesting, we are able to be grafted into the vine. We are adopted as his children, but Jesus, later known as Jesus, the Word who became flesh, is the only truly Son, God, expression of himself. It's an amazing thing to try to grasp. It's actually impossible to truly comprehend the depth of what is being said in those words. He has no equal, and yet he still fully reveals who the Father is because he is God. He is Son, but he is also the expression of Father. Look with me to John chapter 14. John 14 will begin with verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father. It's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Jumping ahead to verse 20, it says, "In that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you." It's interesting that a long period of time went by before there was ever any true notice or focus upon the birth of Jesus. While it was there in the Bible, it was very clearly written, the focus and the emphasis from the beginning of the church was and continued to be for many, many years, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And the teaching that comes from the birth is still relevant and important, but it wasn't a day that was specifically celebrated. Why not? Well, it's really hard to truly celebrate the meaning of Christmas when you only look at the baby. But when you understand that the Word became flesh and was transformed into the womb of Mary and took on the form of flesh through the egg, through that fertilization process, but Father God was Father, and it was a miraculous thing that took place with the conception aspect of it all. And those of you who are good at biology and understand what that means, it's like, whoa. And so while he's born, he's not born with the same sin nature. That's why the virgin birth was so important. It's through the seed of Adam that sin is passed. In other words, every single human being from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve until that day has been born with a sin nature. You can even go all scientific if you like, and you can take test tubes and put them together and have this fertilization process in this lab kind of deal, but you still need the seed and the egg. And every child that's been born is born with a sin nature except for Jesus Christ. That's why Christmas is so important. To realize that he was born with an advantage. The same advantage that Adam had. The same advantage that Eve had. Sinlessness. And to grow up in a home with a carpenter as a carpenter's son, with a mother who loved him dearly but didn't truly comprehend everything that was going on. Let's be honest. And to do so without sinning. To go through those toddler years into those young grade school ages, into those teenage years, into those young man challenges and adulthood, and become a 30-year-old man and begin teaching about the Father and the kingdom of God, and to do all of that without sin. It started because of the virgin birth, and he lived faithfully and successfully through his entire life without ever sinning. That's what makes Christmas so special. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, and yet to comprehend that he is God, difficult and yet necessary. Jesus is the firstborn. Now, oftentimes when you see the phrase first, it's not always referring to numerical. Oftentimes the word first is referring to importance. He is the most important born. But he is also the firstborn, meaning there were other children. There were siblings that were also born into this world. Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. And we see that in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And yes, they did have other children. One of them actually wrote a letter to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, who was a believer in Jesus Christ, born again, spirit-filled man, and he was a half-brother because Joseph was his real father, and so was Mary. So James, the brother of Jesus, actually wrote one of the books of the Bible. But Jesus was the firstborn, and we see that right there in the Christmas story of which we usually read to celebrate his birth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, let's look at that real quick. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. I already read that text. I told you I'd go back to it. He is the firstborn of all creation. What does that mean? He's the most important one to ever have been born. That's what that says. He is God. He is the image of the invisible God. He has revealed to us who God is. And he's able to say to his disciples, if you see me, you see the Father. And of course, one of the guys is like, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but if you just show us the Father, that'll be enough for us. And you have to wonder if the old slap of the forehead was yet something of the culture. I could just imagine Jesus going, Thomas, really? Can you see that with me? Let's just pretend. That's awesome. I just love that. He's biffing himself. You know. I just told you, and yet you still aren't getting it. Don't worry, Lord, we get it. We get it. Just show us the Father. And Jesus was like, oh my goodness, my goodness. If you see me, you see the Father. You want to know who God is? Read about Jesus. Listen to his words. Watch what he does. He is God, expressed in flesh and blood. Incredible, beautiful, wonderful. Colossians chapter 1, we'll pick up at verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Whew. Amazing. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who was resurrected. And he set the captives free, those who had died that were faithful before the cross. They are able to be liberated from their place of waiting because of the cross. And all of those who followed that day, that repent and give their life to God through Jesus Christ, are able to witness He as the firstborn, knowing that we too one day will be resurrected. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. This is an incredible statement from God. To comprehend and realize that the firstborn, the Son of God, who is God, is Jesus, and that you and I can be grafted into this family, that we can be looked upon as God's children as well. I mean, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that kind of honor. And yet, He has made the promise that I can be called a child of the King. You and I can be the children of God. That's just wow, amazing. For whatever reason, during this time of the year, as I see the celebrations, as I listen to the songs, and I was even asked just the other day why I have that impression of being such a Grinch. And I own it. I accept that. I think it's a fair criticism. It's not that I don't enjoy parties. They're fun. It's not that I don't like getting gifts. I kind of like it. I probably enjoy giving them more than I enjoy getting them, but still, the gift thing's all right. It's kind of cool. It's a way of expressing love. It's a way of expressing care. You know, and having lights, decorations, you know, it's not so bad. They're pretty, right? But they're not Jesus. I don't care if you want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I kind of like that song. Or maybe you lost your two front teeth and you'd like that too. Those are fun, right? Some of the kids don't have a clue what I'm talking about. We got to bring back the goodies and the oldies, right? Put on that old 8-track. What's disturbing to me is that more and more Jesus is lost in the midst. And it's not just the world, friends. It's the church. First Corinthians 15. Beginning with verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstborn, our first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Wow. I mean, babies in mangers are cute, but come on. Now that's awesomeness right there. He, the child, grows sinlessly, dies, resurrects for this purpose and reason to eliminate death. The first thing that was mentioned with the sin of the knowledge of good and evil was what? That you will die. And Jesus says, I'm going to finish what was started. Death will no longer have a hold on you. You will no longer have that enemy over your head. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means died. And he is the first fruits of those who will be resurrected. Looking forward to the day when the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. All of us, if we're still alive, guess what? We get to go up and meet them in the air. That's going to be a special day. Pretty awesome. Incredible. Hard to comprehend, but so exciting. The eternal one, Jesus, the eternal Son, the one who has always been and always shall be, is who we are focusing our attentions on in this season. We have such an opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ, to share the true story of what Christmas is all about. If you don't talk about his sinlessness, about the virgin birth's importance, and the fact that he died on a cross and rose again with the power and the keys of death and hell, then you haven't celebrated Christmas. You just had a really cool party. Why did it take hundreds of years for the church to begin focusing upon such a moment, such a mass about Christ? Honestly, the reason Christmas is on the day it is was to counter a pagan cult worship day. Jesus was likely born in April. March, April, somewhere in there. He wasn't born in December, I'm sorry. But there was a pagan worship day that had a lot of stuff going on. Parties, gift giving, mistletoe, yule logs, evergreen trees, all were part of that celebration. And the church says, you know what? How about we rob them of their moment? How about we go up against that pagan day and celebrate something good and honoring to God? How about we celebrate the birth of Christ on this day and take that one from them? And so we did. We robbed the world of their pagan worship and replaced it with Christian worship. That's what we did. We did it over Easter as well. Easter is not a Christian word. It's actually a pagan goddess, the goddess of fertility. Isn't that interesting? And so literally it took a couple hundred years before that Christmas day of celebration even became something, and it went for a few hundred years, even a thousand years, before it became something recognized worldwide, because it was just another mass. But something happened to create a little bit more buzz. And about 300 years ago, it became worldwide accepted and celebrated. Does that mean we can't celebrate Christmas? No, of course not. I do like to say Resurrection Day over Easter. You'll probably notice that. You might wonder why I don't get super excited about all the Christmas stuff. Well, maybe it's because I know too much about where it came from. Sorry. But I have absolutely no problem at all celebrating the birth of Christ, my Savior, my King, the eternal Son, who always has been and always shall be. He needed to be born as a child, sinlessly, in order to live a life of sinlessness, in order to die for me, because I am not sinless, I am sinful. To become a Savior for all of those who are lost, which is all of us. So Jesus is the first fruits of the fallen, asleep ones, those who have died. He is the first fruits of the resurrection, of which we have to look forward to. And Jesus is the first and the last. Let's look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Kind of a side note, I now own 2 Bah Humbug cups. We had our sectional Christmas party, and we did this random thing where we had to answer quiz questions, and I was like the last one to finally go up and pick out a gift, and there's still some bags up there of gifts, and I reached, and this one, I'll grab this one, and I grabbed the one and only Bah Humbug coffee cup. I was like, and everybody's like, yay, that fits you so great. I'm like, thanks. Oh, goodness sakes. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Now, who is this? Well, this is John, who was supposedly Jesus' best buddy, the one that everybody was jealous of, the one that Jesus appears to love the most, that John. What does he do? He passes out. That's what it's saying. He passed out. He fainted. Clunk. I fell at his feet as though I was dead. I passed out. I fainted. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. What is that? The Alpha and the Omega. The living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. I like that. Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's beyond time. And when he became the resurrected one in all his glory, he once again is revealing the glory of God as he prayed in John chapter 17 that he might reveal the glory he once had. And now he's doing it, and John can't stand to see him that way and falls over dead. Well, not really dead, just almost dead. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Whew. He is our powerful Savior. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate. He stands between us and the enemy. His blood covers us. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is why the kings, the Magi, took a couple years to get there. But when they did, they gave him gifts for his burial. Yeah, he didn't get a cool toy. He didn't get Hot Wheels. He didn't get a racetrack. He didn't get some Tecmo Super Bowl for a Nintendo. He didn't get any of that stuff. What did he get? He got the stuff to prepare his burial. That's what he got. The gold to buy one and the stuff that you do to embalm someone. To wash their body so it's pure and holy. This is his gift. Why? Because it's not about the baby in the manger. It's about the man on the cross. We had to come from here to get to there, but let's never forget the there. Because if you forget about the there, the cross and the resurrection, the empty tomb, then you haven't figured out the whole point. I remember holding my children in my arms, wondering what's God going to do with this little one. And I can understand the song, Mary, Did You Know? And the sad part about that question is she didn't. She really didn't know. She actually tries to stop Jesus when he started his ministry. Her and the children, the siblings of the Lord, went to him to stop him. And it's actually saying that they think he's crazy. Mary, did you know? No. She didn't know. Nobody truly understood that his purpose was to live a sinless life so he could die on a cross. Peter speaks up and says, "This will never happen." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the plans of God, but the plans of men. You want me to be a king. You want me to have the ruler in an iron scepter, but that's not happening now. I have to die. That's the plan of God. And to stand against his plan is to be Satan." Wow. He is our Savior. He is the author and the finisher, the founder, the perfecter of faith. Hebrews chapter 9, as we wrap up this message of the eternal Son. Let's consider his beginning. Let's consider his everlasting. Hebrews 9, verse 11. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and of calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of bulls and sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Jump ahead to verse 23. "Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered into, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things," he's referring to the temple, "but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood on that's not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. When he appears, he's coming for his bride. Because we eagerly wait for him." Wow. You are the bride of Christ. You are children of Father God, the eternal one, the eternal Son, Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as we prepare to close? As I said a few different ways, and I'll say it once again, there's nothing wrong with having fun during this season. I just find it difficult sometimes to enjoy the fun at the expense of what is the most important. And so maybe I have too much of a guard up. But I want Jesus to be the reason that we celebrate. Not the kid that was left alone, that knocked a few guys around that tried to rob the house. Not some guy that falls from a skyscraper. I don't know if that one made a hit or not. I think I lost you all on that one good. It's not about the guy in the red tights. It really isn't. It's about Jesus, the sinless one. The eternal God has revealed himself through his son Jesus. In him we have eternal life. The importance of his virgin birth must not be overlooked. That is so important. The importance of that. It's his sinlessness is paramount to all other things. You can't look upon that baby without considering the cross and the empty tomb. He is to be adored, but more importantly, he is to be worshipped as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I challenge you to commit your life to serving him. Accept his gift of salvation for eternity, because he is the eternal Son. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for who you are. I can't quite comprehend it that you always have been. It's a little bit outside of my ability, but I know it's a truth, and I embrace it. It was your word that spoke this world into existence. And even in doing so, the plan was to die. Your word declares that before time began, you had a plan, and that plan was the cross. Incredible. Unfathomable that you would literally create this world knowing that you would suffer in order to bring a way of salvation so that someone, us, could also love. In order for love to be possible, hate also needed to be possible. In order for us to be faithful, the ability to not be faithful needed to also be a choice. You chose to die for us, to give us grace, mercy, kindness, salvation as we repent and put our hope and trust in you, knowing that we don't have to do it. It's our choice. That's hard to comprehend. But thank you for giving us the choice. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to love. Thank you, Lord, and I know this is a weird prayer, but thank you for putting that tree in the garden and said, don't eat. Because we wouldn't have the ability to say yes if we also didn't have the ability to say no. And I say yes today. I choose you, Lord, over all things. May that be our prayer as we prepare our hearts for these celebrations that are coming. To not just have the fun. The fun is okay. There's nothing wrong with having fun. But Lord, it must be more important to be about you. May it be so as we honor you in our midst, as we honor you in our homes, as we honor you in our celebrations. I pray your blessing to be upon us as we go from this place into our mission field, into our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you celebrate the Eternal One.